And now joined by Susan Cain, the founder and president of Unbridled, which opens in Coxsackie on Thursday.
It sure does, Tom. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and learn a bit about Unbridled. I'm delighted to share with your audience that we are officially opening with a ribbon cutting on Thursday, September 26th, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. It will be orchestrated by the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, and we are delighted to be part of the community and welcome our new neighbors and friends to come and meet and greet the horses and learn what Unbridled is all about.
Yeah, well, tell us, what does Unbridled try to do?
Well, Unbridled Thoroughbred Foundation began in 2004, and I'll back that up with the fact that I have spent the whole of my life with horses. First, with show jumping and then owning thoroughbreds as racehorses, breeding them for the New York Breeding Program. And in 2011, I really had my rose-colored glasses shattered when I learned how many thoroughbreds were breaking down on the racetrack and how many were then being shipped off to slaughter in Canada and Mexico. And at that point, I stopped breeding thoroughbreds because I didn't feel I could be the change that I felt the horses needed to see. And in my heart of hearts, I'm a horse lover who mixed up loving horses with the horse business. And at that time, I really amplified the advocacy work that I do today to be a voice for horses, to share what is really going on with the abuse of drugging on the racetrack, and the fact that these horses who give their heart and soul to everything that we ask are being quietly shipped across borders to Canada and Mexico to slaughterhouses where they are then butchered for human consumption. And it's really an ill in this country that doesn't need to exist. I address that from a moral issue in that we individuate these horses by naming them. We unilaterally choose to bring them into the world. We teach them to trust. We train them. We hope on them. We celebrate them. And then when they're no longer of service to us, it's as if they no longer exist. So that is the viewpoint that I take as to why horses should not be slaughtered. But then for those who don't necessarily share that or have the hands-on experience with horses, what is equally egregious is that horses in America are regularly administered upwards of 300 drugs that are approved by the FDA, the USDA, for the health and maintenance of horses, those being painkillers, dewormers, bronchodilators, muscle relaxers. And those same drugs are banned in the human food chain. They're banned for human consumption. And our American horses are crossing the borders specifically to be processed for human consumption. So our country is knowingly, essentially putting toxic meat out into the world. So it's a multifold issue. We try to address it from all sides. As I said, I have a background with horses the whole of my life. I don't have an issue with working horses, competing with horses, doing all sorts of activities and endeavors with horses. But as an organization, we want to be a voice for horses so they're not abused during those activities and that by all means they don't meet an unspeakable end across borders.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion? I guess there have been a couple of I'm not a horse expert, but I think I've read about a couple of horses that were racing this year have died in races, or there's been, I guess there's the beginnings of talk about banning thoroughbred racing is sort of bubbling up in the culture. Do you have an opinion on that?
It is, and it's a very polarizing topic, and it really has put a lot of people at odds with one another, and they're devolving to ad hominem attacks on those who are positing different ideas. What's going on in thoroughbred racing is not working. We have far too many deaths on the racetracks, far too many deaths at training centers, and as I mentioned, far too many thoroughbreds shipping to slaughter. To give you some context with the numbers, each year approximately 20,000 live thoroughbred foals are born, and they're registered by the Jockey Club, which is the North American registrar for all thoroughbreds. So we have an accurate database of how many thoroughbreds are coming into this world. It is estimated by the USDA that approximately 10,000 to 12,000 thoroughbreds ship across our borders to slaughter in Canada and Mexico every year. So based on those numbers, you're losing about half of the foal crop each year. And bear in mind, these horses are not bred, raised, or regulated for human consumption. Then we have at the racetrack approximately 1,000 thoroughbreds a year are dying on the track. Those are horses that we know of who are actually euthanized on the racetrack. It doesn't account for horses at training centers. There's about twice as many training centers as racetracks. And we don't have accurate statistics on that because the Jockey Club does not mandate death reporting. And I believe that they don't mandate it because they don't want those numbers out there because they're astronomical. And when most people look at thoroughbreds and the sport of kings, they really see the glamorous side of it, the beauty of the athlete. People who go to the races at Saratoga, they're not going there to support animal abuse, which is what is posited by a lot of the animal rights advocates. They're going to enjoy, you know, the magnificence of those beings. They're not educated as to what's going on in the ugly underbelly, which is what Unbridled deals with a lot, or the fact that, you know, in the middle, there are horses across this country every day, thoroughbreds, who live happy lives. They are safe, they're celebrated, and they're maybe engaged in second careers as show horses or jumping horses or pleasure horses. So it's a very complex issue. And what I like to do through Unbridled is really try to bring forth some common sense solutions that are pragmatic with where we are at now. Unbridled is supported by individual donors who are completely anti-racing, and we have supporters who are deeply entrenched in racing. So we're a little bit different than most organizations. My position is for the horse at any stage of engagement in a competitive sport or an activity. I would like to see and advocate for the autonomy, the sentience, the well-being of that horse being considered first and foremost. I believe that morally that is our obligation as stewards of horses. And one of the ways that I try to share with people who horses are is by getting them to our sanctuary, getting them hands-on with horses to discover for themselves, you know, who are horses? You know, the horses at the racetrack are incredible. The ones on TV at the Kentucky Derby are magnificent, but they're at such a distance from us. We're not, you know, we don't have that tactile sensation of feeling, you know, their heart beating in our hand or looking into their big brown eyes. So as we open Unbridled in Coxsackie, visitors will meet thoroughbreds who have earned millions of dollars. They've produced babies who have sold at Saratoga and other sales in Kentucky for millions of dollars. And each of the thoroughbreds that we have were literally thrown away in slaughter yards. They were redeemed within hours of shipping across our borders. And I believe in the thoroughbred industry. It's not a matter of money. There's plenty of money in the industry. It's a matter of morality and choices. And the choices that we make today will change the world for the future of thoroughbreds, or the status quo will remain. But until the long-term consequences of bringing a horse into this world are front-loaded, we're going to be dealing with the same problems. Most people don't know that a horse lives for 30 or 35 years, and they're career at the racetrack, it usually spans only 2, 3, or 4 years at the most.
So what does Unbridled do? What, do you get horses that are going to be slaughtered and rescue them, or what does the organization do?
We do. The organization redeems horses directly from slaughter yards, horses who are in holding pens waiting to go to slaughter, and we also bring horses into our organization before they ever get to that point. We try to help horses who are coming off of breeding farms, who are no longer productive, who are at high risk of slaughter, horses coming directly off of the racetrack that don't have a place to go to. When a trainer and an owner have a horse at the racetrack or even a broodmare at the breeding farm, the thoroughbred racing industry is a business, and that horse is primarily viewed as a commodity. And if he or she is not producing and not in a position to generate income, that horse becomes an expense. And the idea is to get rid of that horse off the books as soon as possible. So we try to continually back up to the point that we save that horse in the most economical way for us as stewards of a not-for-profit, and also where it's the least insult emotionally and physically to a horse. When we pick up horses from the slaughter yards, they've been to hell and back. You know, they've been taken out of everything that they know on a farm. They're dropped in with a group of horses they don't know in large holding pens, and there's fighting for water and food and just basic survival skills. And the horses come out beat up, skinny, often sick, and it takes a lot to bring them back to health and wholeness. Whereas if we can network with breeding farms and trainers, we get those horses sooner. So we try to bring those horses in and place those horses into adoptive homes. But the real issue here is that adoption will never solve this problem. It's taking care of an overflow of horses. Slaughter begins in the breeding shed, and we need to slow the number of horses bred to a sustainable number if, in fact, we are going to consider who they are morally over the course of their lifespan.
Because I'm guessing if you're breeding horses, you breed a lot to try to get a winner out of a lot of different horses so that there's way more horses than there are racing slots, I guess.
Well, what is happening is that thousands are being bred for a handful that will be successful, and that has a cumulative effect over the years. You know, every year when 20,000 new thoroughbreds are born, we are actually creating 600,000 years of aftercare, you know, with an average lifespan of 30. That's a lot of money. It costs an average.
Horses are expensive.
They're very expensive. They don't, you know, live in your house with you. An average horse on a shoestring at unbridled costs $6,000 a year. And that's just for grain, hay, bedding, farrier, hoof care, dental work, basic veterinary, barring any catastrophic injury. So that is a barrier.
And that's not even counting like volunteer work of walking the horses and, you know, exercising.
No, like not that. At all. That doesn't include any paid staff. It doesn't include the insurance, the electric bill, you know, the internet domain name, all of the administrative things that keep unbridled running. So horses are cost prohibitive, and that's a barrier to entry to a lot of people. So we try to provide also avenues and pathways to participation for people who would like to become involved with horses, not only with us, but whether it's their kids taking lessons or they want to lease a horse or they want to have a horse in their backyard as a foster horse, but ways to become involved without contributing to the larger problem that we're dealing with, which is the scale of horses that are going to slaughter.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Susan Kane from Unbridled, which opens in Coxsackie on Thursday. You want to give us the domain name while...
Absolutely. If anyone goes to Unbridled Foundation, and it's UNBRIDLED Foundation.org, you will find there under the events tab an invitation to our ribbon cutting and open house on Thursday, September 26th, the day after tomorrow. It's at 1700 Farm to Market Road in Coxsackie, a beautiful stallion barn that was originally built for Contemporary Stallions, which was a big breeding farm in Coxsackie. And we have a horse there named Comet DeFleur that was actually conceived in that breeding shed. And we rescued her in 2017
Wow.
before we ever knew we would be in this location.
Wow.
So it's really a full circle story, and it's wonderful to be in that location and really redeem that property, you know, for the good of thoroughbreds and for the betterment of their future life. So we're excited about it, and we'd love to have, you know, anyone join us who is in the area, would like to meet and greet the horses. Just please RSVP on the events page, and we'll have your name on a card and ready to introduce you to beautiful, wonderful, friendly thoroughbreds and just discover who they are and what they're about and how you can enjoy horses without hurting them.
How did you land in Coxsackie?
Well, actually, my husband dragged me back to Greene County, and he's from Greenville originally. And we were just looking at different horse properties in the region, and this came up. It's close to home. And it just seemed to be the right property. at the right price, and we had a very, very generous benefactor actually purchase the property for Unbridled's use. So it's a dream come true, and we're just excited about it and also look forward to the possibility of expanding in the area. We have a lot of beautiful farming acreage around us that sure looks good, but I'm looking out from the from the stable.
How many horses do you have now?
We currently have 12 horses, and of those 12, two of the horses are ready for adoption. They're ready to move out, and 10 of our horses are what we refer to as sanctuary horses. They have pre-existing conditions and injuries that really prohibit them from doing anything other than being teaching horses for groundwork and for people to meet and greet and get to know their stories. And they represent the stories of thousands of horses across this country, whether they're thoroughbreds or different breeds of horses.
What does it take to get a horse ready for adoption?
Well, it really takes a lot of time. The average stay of an adoptable horse at Unbridled is about 8 months, and that's much longer than other organizations that do the same work that are focused solely on adoption. Our bulk of our horses are sanctuary horses that we help, so we just have a handful of adoptable horses. But in the past 18 months, we did manage to adopt out 25 horses, and we placed numerous others that didn't even come through our organization. But it's really getting to know who the horses are. You know, horses are very sensitive, they're intelligent, they're curious, they're socially complex, and depending on the situations that they've come out of, whether it's a slaughter yard, whether it's abuse or it's neglect, very much like people, they respond individually and deeply to those situations. I've had horses come in that it will take them 2 or 3 months to even make eye contact with a person. You'll say, you know, just go by the stall and talk to them, and they'll just turn and put their head in a corner because they've had such harsh handling from humans. I've had other horses come out of the same situation, and it seems like they're completely unaffected by it. So at Unbridled, we're really all about getting to know who the horse is as an individual. And once they reveal themselves to us, then we can begin to work with them and see what their natural proclivities are. You know, some are far better suited for trail riding. Some are super athletic for show jumping. Others like to be alone. Some like to be in a group. So as the horses allow us to get to know them, we can then make decisions as to what the best placement is for them. And it's also like, you know, it's very much like a dating site. You know, there are personality matches, personalities of people and horses that just get along divinely, and there are others that clash. And it just happens, and it's just a matter of noticing and being observant. And
it sounds like you have to be a horse psychologist a little bit.
It kind of. You know, there's a big movement of horse whisperers over the years, and I've always said it's really not about talking to horses. It's about getting quiet and listening to what the horses have to say, because they'll tell us loud and clear if we can get ourselves still enough to hear them.
What would you say to someone that's interested in this issue? What can someone individually do about this?
The best thing to do individually is to, you know, get online and just start getting educated. Start reading about what's going on with horses and be open-minded about looking at the whole picture. Because right now, there is a war going on for horses, and it's a mess. You know, you have the thoroughbred industry is fighting for its life. It's an industry that is shrinking and struggling, and whether it exists or not is up to the leaders of that industry, and it will be based on the choices that they make. They're also actively trying to cover up the problems and sustain their image as the sport of kings, instead of just saying to the public, look it, we really messed up. This is not a good situation. We're going to clear the decks and start over. Here's how we're going to help horses who are engaged in racing from the inside out. Instead, they've been addressing it from the outside in, trying to keep their face safe and their image untarnished. Well, the image is gone. So understand that. And that's, again, specific to thoroughbreds. Read about opposing points of view. Why, you know, ask yourself, why do people do what they do with horses? What informs those decisions? I really believe the best advocates are educated advocates. There are individuals that do the work that I do and organizations that do the work that I do that have a different point of view. And I think you have to find, you know, it within yourself where you would like to make a difference and how you would like to go about that difference. And it can begins with education, and then physically it can be volunteering. Financially, it can be donating. It can be restraining from breeding a horse. It can be saying, no, you know, I really don't want to go to the races today. I'd rather go volunteer at a local organization. It can be supporting, you know, your local show stable or lesson barn, any type of horse clubs that are interested in keeping horses active and utilized and engaged. Because where horses fall prey to the slaughter pipeline, for thoroughbreds, as I mentioned earlier, it's when they're no longer productive or useful. But we also have horses going to slaughter who are camp horses, who are used every summer by hack stables, trail stables, summer camps. They use these horses. These horses give children memories that will last a lifetime. And those horses are then just gathered up in September and October and shipped off to slaughter. And it's one of the most egregious, silent, wicked offenses that can be done to these sweet little animals that are willing to do anything that's asked of them. They're deserving of being laid over for the winter. So I would say learn about different pathways to participation that don't contribute to the problem and be a voice for horses. Everybody can develop a voice, talk about it, be honest about it. It's not about attacking people involved in the industries. It's about looking at the processes and how it affects horses. I'm a person who was deeply engaged in horse racing. I thought I would spend the rest of my life in it. I viewed horses once as a commodity. They were my competitive partners for years, and now I'm deeply engaged in compassionately caring for horses because I shifted on the inside from what I learned, and that is available to anyone to look, to learn, to see. Come out to Unbridled, meet the horses in person, and learn as much as you can, and learn most of all how you can make a difference to make this world a kinder place for horses instead of a crueler one.
All right, we've been talking with Susan Kane from Unbridled that opens in Coxsackie on Thursday. You want to give us the details of the opening one more time?
Absolutely. It's Thursday, September 26th from 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. We have a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, and that will be followed by a meet-and-greet with our Unbridled herd of rescued thoroughbreds. So for anybody listening who would like to join us, please go to unbridledfoundation.org, click on the events tab, and just RSVP, and we will be ready to greet you with open arms, and our horses will have, as we say, lots of smoozles, which are smooches from their muzzles. There'll be lots of carrots and apples on hand, and, you know, we'd love to meet you and welcome you to our stable.
All right. Well, welcome to Greene County, getting opened on Thursday. Unbridled, good luck with that.